Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Luka Doncic from Ljubljana, Slovenia, and Real Madrid.
Man, if you were listening to Ben and Skin yesterday, I'm going to say all this before we put Skin on the buyersafety.com hotline because he'll do the humble deflect. You heard it all play out. The drama, the excitement, the intelligence, all of it playing out with Atlanta and what was going to happen, and they figured it out, and boom, that's what happened. Luka Doncic gets traded for Trae Young. The Dallas Mavericks move up to number three. They give up a future first-round pick. I'm not thrilled about that. It is top five protected over the course of the next two seasons. Cuban's justifying it by saying, well, next year's draft sucks anyway, so we just want to go ahead and give away the pick next year. And Luka Doncic being called a generational talent by many. Let's bring in the basketball analyst. What time did you get home last night, Jeff Skin Wade?
I think I got home. I know it was after midnight. But I got home. I was very happy when I got home because then I stayed up and watched like NBA TV for an hour. And
yes,
it was an awesome night. And I'm excited that you guys brought me on this morning to hype up Jeff Kavanaugh's Michael Gallup pizza party today.
Oh, yeah.
At 5 o'clock out there at Bar Louie on Park Lane. Oh, you know, I was thinking about yesterday during the draft coverage, and it ended up being a great day for the station. And, you know, if after the Ben and Skin show, when Hagee and Corey and Nepik and Fish were all jumping on and we're all bringing a little something to the table, it did remind me kind of how good our draft coverage was for the NFL. And, you know, I listened to a lot of that stuff during that weekend. And, coming out of all that, we have this pizza party for Michael Gallup today.
Yeah.
I love all these sorts of things we're doing at the station. And I thought yesterday was a really fun day. I've heard Donnie describe sometimes when he's in these trade conversations, and he describes it as having, like, this big giant fish on the end of a fishing line, and you're trying to reel it in. I felt like that's what was going on during the Ben and Skin show yesterday when KT got the guy who broke the story on Doncic on the air.
Yes.
And suddenly he's getting text messages while we had him on the air. Man, that was an exhilarating day of draft coverage. So we had a blast yesterday.
Why do you like the move?
The main reason I like the move is because, and I've been very vocal about this, Doncic is not necessarily the player I wanted in this draft, but I am a big, big believer, if you look at history, and letting Donnie Nelson do what he believes in, because it works. It almost always works out. And the biggest mistakes, in my opinion, that the Mavericks have made over the last 20 years have been when they don't let Donnie do what he wants to do. I think that all GMs make mistakes. I mean, Sean, you know this as a Laker fan. You guys had Jerry West, who's probably the greatest GM of all time, and I always use this as an example. Jerry West drafted Drew Gooden ahead of Amari Stoudemire. Mm. They all make mistakes. But the guys that are really good, if you let them do their job, more often than not, they're going to kick ass for you. And Donnie's track record is freaking impeccable going back to the 80s when he was a scout. And Donnie, I can tell you for a fact, wanted this guy more than anybody else. And I know at least going back to November, because I had a conversation with him off record in the stands in Minnesota for a Mavs-Timberwolves game. It was one of those games I was on the road, and I sat there in the stands and I talked with him. And this is when everyone was high on all the bigs, and he wanted to talk about Doncic. They got their guy. And we can sit here with all these guys that are in the draft. We can say, well, he can't do this, and he can't do this, and he can do this. And not every one of these guys are going to hit. Every year all the draft profiles talk about all these guys that are going to hit. They're not all going to hit. But I believe that Donnie's confidence in Doncic is so high that I can't help but have the same confidence in him.
Skin, I know, like you said, that, you know, he wouldn't have been your pick. That's fine. I mean, you know, everyone's allowed to be wrong every now and then. Totally cool with that. But With this pick and then with the Brunson pick in the second round, was there a like a culture they were going for in all these picks?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. I think they do value winning. I do think that they think that that translates. And that's funny that you brought that up. You know, I'm not that crazy high on Brunson as a prospect. I think he's one of those classic, awesome college players mm-hmm. that at best, will be a backup NBA point guard. But there's nothing wrong with getting that in the second round. I think when I look at our particular team, we got more guards than we know what to do with. I mean, I thought it was very possible that the Mavs might consider letting Yogi Ferrell go to bring Devin Harris back since he can play 2 and 1. But I don't think Rick Brunson is as good as Yogi Ferrell. And Yogi Ferrell is another type of player that you're talking about there, right? Jalen Brunson. What am I calling him? Rick Brunson. Yogi is the all-time assist leader in Indiana history. And I watch him play, and I look at his spring, and I look at his burst, and I don't think Jalen Brunson has that stuff. But to your original question, they drafted a solid guy. He was college player of the year. I know Michael Finley believed in him. And so, I don't freak out over second-round picks. A lot of people had him projected as a first-round pick. I think if I was like a Utah Jazz fan, I'd be a little more concerned about, wait, we took Grayson Allen here. Most people had him in the second. Is that good? But you can't worry about where people are projected. You take the guys that you believe in. And, the Mavericks. The other thing, too, I told this story last night. The Mavericks do have a Brunson tie going back to his dad. Donnie Nelson, when he was a scout in Golden State, let Rick Brunson's agent sleep on his couch. His agent had one client, and that client was Rick Brunson, and Donnie was doing him a favor. And then 20 years later, that agent, Leon Rose, ended up being the agent for LeBron James. Mm. So when we tell these Donnie stories, man, his ties in basketball are so deep and so well-rooted that they also drafted a guy that they know quite a bit about his history and his basketball genes. So they felt pretty good about all that as well.
All right, here's my only problem with it. Talk me out of it. Okay. I wanted next year to be a developmental year with two young kids where you lose and then you're able to draft one more nice young piece like mm-hmm. OKC, back in the day with Westbrook and Harden and Durant versus let's dive right mm-hmm. back to the 8 or 9 seed. So like, I don't mm-hmm. want to go back to the treadmill of mediocrity and that additional piece feels like it's going to have to come in free agency / trade where they have traditionally struck out. So punting on next year, I get it. You think he's a generational talent? I agree. I'm mm-hmm. going to trust Donnie Nelson. But I was hoping for one more year of it to go ahead and acquire a stud that you hopefully have with these two versus adding your other big piece. It just I want to go in the one direction, Skin. So I'm going in the same direction with Doncic and Dennis Smith. And then I'm going to veer off with Boogie or I'm going to go the other way with DeAndre. Take me through that.
Okay, here's the logic on that. The logic on that is that they played a historic number of clutch games in which they lost. And they're a far better team than their record showed. Now, Parcells is going to laugh at me, right? You know this, Chop. You are what your record says.
You are.
But that's not what they believe. And I sat there and watched every freaking one of these games, guys. I'm going to tell you, I've watched bad basketball teams. I know what a bad basketball team is. This team wasn't that. This team lost a lot of games due to inexperience and injury and things, and they were really – they shouldn't have drafted as high as they did, and they're taking advantage of it. And also, if you look at this, this is kind of like when we got into this great debate on the station about whether or not the Mavericks should go get the number 4 pick, right, and everything they should give up for the number 4 pick. And one of the things I wanted to point out to people is that in most drafts, the number 4 pick doesn't change your franchise. In most drafts, if you got Harrison Barnes with the number 4 pick, it's an absolute home run.
Right.
So if you look at what the Mavericks are doing here, the chance that they're going to get another one of those studs that you're talking about outside of the top 5 in next year's draft, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
If you're going to get one of those guys mm-hmm. that you're talking about, he's going to have to probably come in the top 3 of next year's draft. And so what the Mavericks have done is they've protected themselves for that. If they have another dumpster fire S show of a year and get a top 5 pick, then boom, they're right there drafting. If they have a much better year than they anticipate, they're not going to get anybody at 6 or 7 in next year's draft. that's going to be able to sniff Harrison Barnes' jockstrap. And then next summer, if you look at it, they're going to have a lot of cap room to go with a developing Dennis Smith Jr. and a developing Doncic and, you know, the guys that they're putting around him, keeping Harrison Barnes long-term. He's still just 26. So they protected themselves from what you're talking about. If that scenario unfolds and they can create an Oklahoma City thing, it's only going to happen in the top five of next year's draft. So what they did is they looked at the odds of that happening, and then they looked at the odds of them having a chance to get a guy that they truly believe is a franchise-changing type player, and they said this is a no-brainer.
What are your pros and cons? What are your cons on Doncic?
The obvious one is athleticism.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch him play and you go, okay, that I'm not seeing. Like, even when he dunks, it's, you know, it's like the guys, it's like me in high school trying to dunk a tennis ball. But the skill level is off the charts, and it's a skill game. It's an even better skill game when you have stud athletes like LeBron and Kevin Durant playing it. But Donnie's one of those guys who's always believed that the skill – there's my dog going in. The skill is more important than the athleticism. And he is, without a doubt, boys, the most skilled 19-year-old European prospect ever, and there's not even a second place. It's off the charts. We've talked about this. If Real Madrid comes over here, they destroy Villanova 7 games out of 7. They're Golden State going up against somebody. I mean, they just destroy him. He was the best player on that team at 19 years old playing against grown men that are playing to feed their families. And he's the best player. If you go and talk and look at the feedback of any of these guys that have played in the NBA that have played with Doncic, and they know because they've competed against the athletes in the NBA, they all say universally, without reservation, that guy's a badass. And let me throw one more thing out there. As I was, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm anti-Doncic. I'm not. We did a big piece back in February where I was very pro-Doncic. I just looked at this draft, and I wanted a big out of this draft because I think this is one of the best big drafts we've had in a really, really long time, and it sure as hell ain't going to happen next year. So I wanted to come out of this draft with a big. That doesn't mean I'm anti-Doncic or anything, but if you, as I was doing research for this draft and I was talking to different people about who I thought we would be able to choose from five, you know, whether it was Bamba or does Jackson Jr. go to five or Carter or whoever you're into, I'm telling you guys, the first thing out of every person's mouth, every single time, and this is a lot of different people, was, well, I wish we could get Doncic. I mean, without fail. This is one of those things where when we talk about a front office, you know, hey, there's a bunch of people in the front office and a bunch of scouts, and they all have different opinions, and you hear about guys pounding the table, I got to get this guy. John Daniels always talks about his job is to build consensus in the room. Hey, I realize that there's four guys we could draft here, and everybody wants something different. We've got to build consensus. I'm telling you, to get Doncic, for the Mavericks' point of view, that was the easiest consensus building they ever had to do. This is not just Donnie wants him. This is universal. They wanted Doncic, and they got their guy, and they sacrificed next year's pick in order to do it.
Skin, you brought up big men. Where do they find one in the free agency? Is it Cousins, Gortat, or that other guy that we're not going to talk about?
Yeah. So if I'm going to power rank those things, my first thought last night was Gortat. The reason being, Mavericks have had interest in him before. Washington is looking for a salary dump because they have huge, huge salary problems. He's got a pretty easy salary to come off of. That was my first thought. But the more I thought about it and the more I thought about what Dennis Smith Jr. needs, I'm pretty convinced they're going to go all in on DeAndre Jordan. And if I were to power rank those three guys, I would say Jordan first, Gortat second, and Boogie third. I think Boogie is the scariest because, I mean, think of the Mavericks' experience with Wesley Matthews has mostly been good, but I think even they will concede that was very risky paying a guy that much money coming off of Achilles at his age. Boogie is way heavier than that guy. They think Boogie's an incredible talent. We all do. I just think paying a guy that much money who's that big coming off Achilles, who may not even be ready until December, that's a huge mistake. So I think when they weigh all that, I think they're going to end up going with DeAndre Jordan. There's two ways to get him. He's got 1 year left on his deal at $24 million, and he could possibly opt out of his deal. I personally think he would be crazy to do that.
Yeah. Because
I don't think the market's going to change for him that much from 1 year to the next. And I don't think he'll get a starting salary of $24 million in free agency. I think he stays in his deal, and the Clippers are in the middle of a rebuild. They don't want to win games. The Mavericks do want to win games. The Mavericks have enough cap space to just absorb him after July 1st, but the Clippers are going to want something. They have an asset. So we'll see what it takes. But if I was putting odds on it, I would have the best odds at DeAndre Jordan being your rim-rolling, rim-protecting player. And let me throw one more thing else at you. The way this draft went and the way they have their talent, that means Harrison Barnes is going to be playing a lot of four next year, which he's done that a lot. But when you play Harrison Barnes at the four, he has a tremendous offensive advantage, but a tremendous defensive advantage. He gets beat up pretty good in there. Not a great rebounder for a four. Then you have Doncic at three. You know, you're going to need a center that blocks shots and rebounds. And if you just look at the market, the one who far and away makes the most sense to do what the Mavericks need, and they want to win games next year, I'm sorry, it's DeAndre Jordan.
Tell us why Sunday will be fun.
Because all my bros are there, bro. Dude, we're going to Noble Ray. So we're going to be doing this. It's a brew crew tour, right? It's all the Tolos that love to drink beer. We got a lot of great craft beer, local brew pubs here, breweries, and we kind of want to celebrate this. So we're going to have a bunch of different stops over the next couple months. And the first one is at Noble Ray. The dudes, they're local. They have a great brewery. I highly recommend the Combat Tactical Fighter IPA. It's a great beer. And we've got these awesome pint glasses that if you come out and join us Sunday from 2 to 4, we're going to give out these pint glasses for free. Come on out, enjoy some beer. I know a bunch of you guys are going. I know a bunch of the Ben and Skin show is going, G-Bag, nighttime show. I've got just a bunch of people rolling in. We're going to be drinking beer starting at 2 o'clock. And the one thing that I can promise you that I will do is that if you come out and hang with us on Sunday, it's in the Design District on Farrington Street, right over there near the AAC. If you come out and join us Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, I'll tell you all the off-the-record crazy Nelly stuff from last week that I couldn't tell on the air. So we'll chop up the draft, we'll drink beer, we'll tell crazy stories. It's going to be a blast.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.